We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, entitled The Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, verse 22 and 23. We will read.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kim Vam Hovena Uddishya.
Kim Vam Hovena Uddishya.
Brahmadandam Ayuyujan.
Brahmadandam Ayuyujan.
Dandavradhare Rajni. Manayo dharma kovidaha. Kim vahmo vena uddishya. Brahmadandam ayuyujan. Dandavrata dhare rajni. Manayo dharma kovidaha. Kim vahmo vena uddishya. Brahmadandam ayuyujan. Dandavrata dhare rajni. Manayo dharma kovidaha.
Kim? Why? Va? Also.
Amhaha.
Sinful activities.
Vene.
Unto Vena.
Uddishya,
seeing, Brahmadandam, the curse of a Brahmana,
Ayuyujan,
they decide to award,
Dandavrata
Dhare, who carried the rod of punishment,
Rajni,
unto the king,
Muneha,
the great sage,
Dharma Kovidaha,
completely conversant with religious principles. Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles decide to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahmashapa? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
It is understood that the king is able to give punishment to everyone, but in this case, it appears that the great sages punished him. The king must have done something very serious, otherwise, how could the great sages, who were supposed to be the greatest and most tolerant, still punish him in spite of their elevated religious consciousness? It appears also that the king was not independent of the Brahminical culture. Above the king was the control of the Brahmanas, and if needed, the Brahmanas would dethrone the king or kill him, not with any weapon, but with the mantra of a Brahma Shapa. The Brahmanas were so powerful that simply by their cursing, one would immediately die. The next verse is also connected, so I'll read the next one as well. Text 23.
Na navadhyaya prajapala prajabhir aghavanapi yadasau lokapalana bibhratyoja svatejasa.
It is the duty of all citizens in a state never to insult the king, even though he sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. Because of his prowess, the king is always more influential than all other ruling chiefs. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, the king is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Naranarayan, indicating that Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in human society as the king. It is etiquette that neither a Brahmana nor a Kshatriya king is ever insulted by the citizens. Even though a king appears to be sinful, the citizens should not insult him. But in the case of Vena, it appears that he was cursed by the Naradevata. Therefore, it was concluded that his sinful activities were very grievous.
Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhuteir Mahadbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Adamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna.
Here Vidura is continuing his inquiry about the Brahmashap. What caused the Brahmanas to curse and ultimately kill a king who is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is mentioned in the purport as Nara Narayan. So here, the whole understanding about different social orders come into picture. What are different social orders and how do they interact with each other? And who is superior? Who is inferior? Or is it just a matter of inferior and superior? So we know that the social order in itself is coming from Krishna. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. So the Chaturvarnyam, the four social order, the four social divisions are coming from Krishna himself. In Purusha Sukta it is mentioned, Brahmanasya Muhammasid Bahu Rajanya Kradha Urutata Vaishya Padbhyam Shudro Ajayata. Brahmanas are coming from the head of the Supreme Lord, from the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Kshatriyas are coming from his body, from his arms. And Vaishyas from his belly. And the Shudras from the Lord's the legs. So these are the positions of different social orders in comparison to the universal form, the blueprint of all universal creation. So everything in this material creation can be ascribed to the blueprint universal form, and from there everything is coming, and it is multidimensional. Everything is coming from the universal form of the Supreme Lord. So if different parts of the body is the source of different social orders, and Brahmana is considered the head of the society. So without the head, the body cannot function. And you can ask, can you function without the arms? It'll be difficult. Similarly, can you function without the stomach? Probably impossible. How about the legs? Can you function? maybe to some degree, but for efficient function, it's impossible. So it is not just a question of superiority or inferiority, rather it's a question of shared responsibilities. So the whole social system is functioning on the basis of shared responsibility. Head has its function, arms and the body has its functions, belly has its functions, the legs have their functions. So the whole social system is working together for the ultimate purpose. And without understanding that, Brahmanas can become puffed up. That's the scene of Kali Yuga. Right? In Kali Yuga, Brahmanas become so puffed up that they don't want to share any knowledge to the other classes. And that's where the caste system was developed, starting from Sringi. When Brahmana got proud and cursed a king, that is the place where the caste system started. The Brahmanical culture became degraded because of the pride of the highest class, the priestly class, the Brahmanical class. So there were the caste system, and India is known for caste system. If you ask general Western society, they say India is about caste system and fatalism, that is karma. These are the two things they talk about when you talk about India. One is caste system, second is fatalism. Everything is just determined by karma and you can do nothing about it, accept everything. So these are some of the misunderstanding about the real Vedic culture, the real Varnashram culture. So Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he said, I want to create Brahmanas. Because I want to create Brahmanas, then other classes can be trained, other classes can be generated. In fact, in a typical Vedic society, one Brahmana can handle about 9 Kshatriya kings and about 90 Vaishyas and about 900 Shudras. So about 1,000 people are there in the society, then you need only one Brahmana. So one Brahmana can guide the rest 999 people. Rough ratio, 1:1,000. That is the kind of ratio we have in terms of Brahmanas and the other society. Brahmana can help the rest of the society. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted Brahmanas to be there in the society. And we wanted to create Brahmanas. And of course, Brahmanical occupation, as it is mentioned, we can see in Bhagavad Gita, Yajan Yajan, Padhan Padhan. They can accept charity, give charity, study Vedas, teach Vedas, perform deity worship, and teach others to perform deity worship. These are the typical Brahmanical occupations. However, a king, he is ruling over the entire populace, and he has the right to levy tax upon everyone except Brahmanas. He can levy tax on everyone but not Brahmanas. Brahmanas, they cannot levy tax. Whereas Brahmanas are not very attached. Brahmanical quality is such that one day they may be rich, next day they may be poor. You know how? They may get a lot of donations in charity and they may not amass. They may use it for some time, they may give away everything and they again become poor. They accept poverty willingly. So this is Brahmanical austerities. At the same time, kings are very important. As mentioned, kings are very important because they represent the Supreme Lord. They represent all demigods. Because effectively, if you see, all the demigods are in charge for all material affairs in the universe. Let it be light, let it be water, let it be earth. You pick anything. Different demigods are in charge for different departmental affairs. However, when it comes to earthly management of these material elements and their corresponding lords, it is done by the king. So the water, the food, earth, whatever, you pick anything in this material world, all the departments are managed by the king. So the king is considered as the representative of Supreme Lord as well as his subordinates, all the demigods. So this is the position of the king, and that is the reason a king is not insulted by citizens. They respect the king and they follow the king because king is ready to protect. At the same time, when you talk about Kshatriya kings, because of sheer ignorance, we may think that their life is very easy. They can have multiple wives, polygamy is allowed. They can enjoy the kingdom. They are monarchs. They have everything at their disposal. Then the general tendency for an envious mind to think is that they are simply enjoying having a great time in this world. So better to be a Kshatriya, because I can enjoy sex, I can enjoy opulence. This is what people think. However, to be a Kshatriya king is not very easy. A Kshatriya king is not just that he is enjoying everything, but he gives protection to all the citizens. And praja includes, or the citizens include, not just human beings, but all the animals. They had to protect all the animals and all the human beings. Then if a Kshatriya king gives a word, he has to keep that word even at the cost of his own life. Is that easy? In Kali Yuga, we may give a word so many times and hardly do we follow. Or we may follow sometimes, so many times we don't follow. We don't even remember that we have given such a word. So this is Kshatriya king. Even those who were in demoniac in nature in the Vedic time, Kshatriya kings, they are ready to keep their promise. Even Duryodhan knew very well that the five arrows which were kept aside to kill Pandavas, they are meant for his enemies. And since he has given a promise to Arjun, when Arjun came in between the battle and give me those arrows, he had to give them. And he gave that. He's a Kshatriya king. He had to follow the conduct. So he did that. Even though he knew that, hadn't he given those arrows, Bhishma would have used those arrows to kill his own enemies, including Arjun. But he didn't follow. He gave the arrows. Okay, you want the arrows? Since I have given a promise, I have to give these arrows. He gave those arrows. Even Jarasandha. Jarasandha is a demon. He's harassing the devotees. But at the same time, he was telling, I have to give in charity whatever Brahmanas ask, even at the cost of my own life. So if a Brahmana is coming, ask me, give me your life as charity, then Jarasandha is ready to give his own life. Because the reason is not the mode of goodness. The reason is he is in passion. So he is sure that his name should be sung high even after his death. So his glory should remain always untainted. He was very clear about that. That's why even if someone asks me, not someone, a Brahmana asks me, my life in charity still I will give. So this is the character of Kshatriya king, even the Vedic times, even the demons. So it is very, very prestigious in that sense. Yudhecha apalayanam. A Kshatriya will never run away from the battle. Is that possible? First of all, Kshatriyas nowadays, they don't go to the battle. Kshatriya means the administrative rulers. Do they ever go to any battle? There's no such questions. They will not go. They will press the button. They will send people. They will tell, okay, use atomic bomb, kill so many people. Nothing. They are very clear. Nothing will happen to them. However, a Kshatriya king, an administrator, king has to go out in the battle. He has to lead the way. He is there on the battlefield. And he is the most powerful, one of the most powerful persons, generally the kings. And they are ready to fight and they are ready to die in the battlefield. There is no question of returning home. Now, there is a story of a Kshatriya king, right, Rajput. His, right, I forgot the name of the king, but who was very much agitated by or thinking a lot about his wife in the battle. So, his wife, she cut her throat and gave her head with a messenger, give this my head to her, my husband, so that I am dead. Don't think about me, just fight. Like that. This is the Kshatriya spirit. Don't think about oneself, just fight. And die on the battlefield, don't return home. So this is to be a Kshatriya is not easy. even though we may just focus on one aspect, that is the enjoyment and the power that they have as a monarch, but they were righteous. This is the situation, and that's why when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed, everyone was furious. Right? Maharaj Parikshit was wandering in the forest, hunting, because a Kshatriya is allowed to hunt animals, even though he gives protection to all the animals, but he's allowed to hunt animals because he has to sharpen his skills in using bow and arrow in his archery. He has to sharpen his skills. So he has to go and kill wild animals. And these wild animals are giving trouble to sages in the forest who are performing sacrifices. So their duty is to kill all these wild animals and give protection, and at the same time sharpen their skills for archery. And that in that way they can be ferocious in their mood in protecting their citizens, because they cannot just kill anyone. So Maharaj Parikshit was hunting. He went on for a few days without any water, without any food. Can you see? He went on for a few days. And then he went to the ashram of Shamika Rishi. Then he saw Shamika Rishi was deeply meditating in trance. So when he entered the ashram, he got agitated. He started thinking, he's a great sage. At the same time, I am the king. I am the emperor. And why am I not properly received? Because according to the Vedic culture, if someone arrives home, at least one should offer a seat to sit, some water and some sweet words, because this anyone can offer. One doesn't have to offer a big opulent feast, but at least some water, nice words and a seat to sit. So Shamika Rishi, how can just be in trance, forgetting my position, and I am so thirsty. So thinking in that way, Maharaj Parikshit took a dead snake which was lying there and put around his neck. Of course, it was an insult and it was inappropriate. However, to this incident, Shamika Rishi's son, Sringi, got very much offended and he overreacted. Because Sringi was so powerful. As a Brahmana, he was so powerful. Sringi was just a young boy playing with his friends. And then he understood, just far away from his ashram, he understood that this incident has taken place and my father was insulted by the king, by the emperor. He could see that, even just not being physically present. And he got so agitated, he became proud of his Brahminical prowess. He said, "Who are these Kshatriyas? They are simply a dog in front of Brahmanas. We cannot eat at the same place. Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas cannot eat at the same place. We are superior and the Kshatriyas are inferior." So this is called pride. So since the pride developed in the heart of Sringi, he took water from the river and he cursed that from now onwards, in 7 days, Takshaka, the snake bird, is going to come and going to kill Maharaj Parikshit. So this was considered very inappropriate, an inappropriate punishment for the king, because he was a great devotee. Even though he had committed a sinful activity which was minor compared to the punishment the Sringi has offered to him, so very minor offense, it is insulted of course, but how he reacted was completely unjustifiable. Then when Shamika Rishi, when he came out of the trance, he understood, without telling, he understood what happened. He apologized himself. How can my son kill, or again, this is the same word is coming, Brahmashapa. How can he use Brahmashapa, curse, to kill a great devotee, a great king, who is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? Shamika Rishi was very remorseful. At the same time, Maharaj Parikshit had all the power, being a great devotee, to counteract the curse, but he didn't do so. He understood, this is the will of the Lord, so I'll accept the curse. So this is the mood of a great devotee. But we can see that how the Brahmanas, out of pride, can misuse the Brahminical prowess to curse a king. And it is very inappropriate. Kaliga, it is like that. Kaliga the so-called brahmanas, they take their thread and say, going to curse you. That kind of curses do not have any power. They pull their brahminical thread and show, you know, I am a brahmana, give me charity, give me donation. People can demand. But there is no value in it. How much does the thread cost? Maybe 2 rupees. It doesn't cost much. Anyone can wear a thread. What's the big deal? So in India, the brahminical culture has degraded to just respect for the thread. That's all. Just the caste system. Many places, there are so many social issues based on this. I'm a brahmana, you are a shudra, all this kind of mentality, which is not right. It's not at all Vedic. However, when it comes to Kali Yuga, brahminical classes are very much degraded and there are not many brahmanas. Hardly any brahmanas are left. You cannot see real brahmanas. People run temple to make a living. There are many families, they have their franchises. The franchises are temple. So they have a business model as temple. They have particular deity, whoever it is. They have hundi, they have different pujas. They establish at one place. They have sufficient advertisement and they build a congregation around that who can give donations. And after that, they start a franchisee, the same temple, somewhere else. And they have 5-6 temples and they live very comfortably. No problem. So this is a business model. So this is brahminical culture in this present age. There are no qualities and brahmanas, they are working in all different kinds of jobs. If you work for someone, you are not a brahmana. If you work for someone, you are a shudra. You are the labor class or basically lower class. If you work for someone. Business people, they don't work for anyone. They are businessmen. Kshatriyas, they rule. They don't work for anyone. Brahmanas, they don't work for everyone. Anyone. They accept charity. They may be rich or poor, but they don't work for anyone. They give counsel to Kshatriyas and other castes. They train other people. They don't accept any money as a remuneration. They don't accept. Even Chandakya Pandit, great Brahmana, who has written Arthashastra, Neetishastra, he never accepted any money from Maurya king, right? Chandragupta Maurya, right? He never accepted any money. The king said, I'll give you a palatial building, I'll give you remuneration amply. But Chanakya said, no, I cannot accept that. I cannot accept any income. If I accept income, then I cannot give you free advice. Then I'll be bound. You understand? This is that is a brahminical principle. If you accept remuneration, then you cannot give advice. You may think, okay, if I give the advice, I'll give the advice in such a way that my income will not get affected. So that can corrupt the consciousness. So a brahmana will never accept remuneration. So this is so truthful and so powerful. Powerful the brahmanas were. So this is brahmanas. Kshatriyas were great. Brahmanas were also great. In Kali Yuga, if you see, there are no real kings also. Kings are gone, right? Is there any Kshatriyas? There are no Kshatriyas. Currently, in the democratic system, the politicians, the rulers, they don't have much power, right? Prabhupada says, it's not democracy. Prabhupada says, demon crazy. This is Prabhupada said, these are demons crazy. It's not democracy. Because Prabhupada, in one of the first canto of Parbhat, Srila Prabhupada writes, all the asses, ass-like men, right? Ass-like men are electing another ass-like man to be their leader. That is democracy. Because those who are electing, they don't have any qualification. And those who is elected also does not have any qualification. So in Kali Yuga, what happens is, the Vaishyas, they are the real rulers. Because the businessmen are the real rulers, because they can influence the politicians. For the campaign, who is paying money? The business class is paying money. And when some politician, some party come into the power, they want to tweak the policies, they want to change the policies such that these business people are benefited. So who is the ruler? The control is done by the Vaishyas. And these Vaishyas, they want to control the Brahmanas, or they can hire the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, currently I don't mean Brahmana means the priestly class, rather just the intellectual class. The Vaishyas have all the capacity to manipulate and control the intellectual class. I was speaking to a girl doing PhD in Melbourne University. She's doing her PhD in environmental science. So the whole idea for her to do PhD was to help the world, to help the environment. So she did that PhD for maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years. Now, the supervisors, they want to change the direction, the flow of the thesis. Why? Because now they are getting some funding from a multinational corporation who is into oil industry. So ultimately, the aim of the supervisor is that the thesis should project in such a way that the environmental problems are not that serious. Even though there are some issues, still we can get away with that. And this girl was very furious because the whole idea for my thesis is to show the problems in this environmental situation at this point, and I want to find some solution rather than to show to the multinational companies that there are no major problems. So they are ready to, they can hire the intellectual class, they already hired the professors. So this is all the money is coming from the business class. And these business class people are the capitalists. They exploit the Shudras or the working class. So business people, they exploit the working class, they control the intellectual class, and they completely control the politicians. So money is ruling. Who can make money? They are the winner. So this is exactly different from the Vedic society. In Vedic society, those who are making money, they had to give 25% tax to the king. They cannot control the king. They had to obey the king. And the king follows the order of the Brahmanas, who are not proud, but they are in align with the Shastra, with the scripture, and with the Supreme Lord. And they are austere. They don't want to become rich. They are just austere. So this is the real society. And the Shudras, previously the Kshatriya kings, they inherit their kingdom to the next generation, right? Somebody is a king, the next generation becomes the next king. The son becomes a king. Now, the same principle is applicable when it comes to business dynasties. The father is a rich man, then son inherits property. He becomes the rich man and he tries to control the world in one or the other way. So this is Kali Yuga. In fact, even few hundred years back, this was the model. When British East India Company was trying to conquer the world, especially India and different countries, they appointed Max Müller, the German scholar, Sanskritist, to mistranslate Rigveda and other Vedic literature so that the Indians lose their values, they lose their faith and trust in Vedic literature. So he was paid employee of British East India Company. So he mistranslated, and eventually Indians started losing faith and trust in their own culture. In that way, British East India Company, they could control India for business purpose. And secondarily, it was for conversion to Christianity. So the whole thing worked to a great degree, especially the business model worked very well. It was controlled by the business people, used the intellectual to control the people. So this is thing running for hundreds of years. So this is not Kali, this is Kali Yuga. So this is going on. However, in Brahminical culture, it is completely different. Rishabhdev says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth chapter, he gives a hierarchy from lowest to the highest. He says that higher than the dull matter is something which has consciousness. And of it, on the lowest level, you can see the vegetables, plants, etc., which cannot move. That is consciousness manifested in its lower level. And higher than that is worms and lower animals. Then the animals which has more intelligence. And above the animals are human beings. And higher than human beings are ghosts. Above them, Gandharvas. Above them, Siddhas. Above them, the Kinnaras. Above them, the Asuras. Above them, the demigods. And among the demigods, who is the highest? Lord Indra. And if you consider all the upper planets, who is the highest? And the whole entire planetary system, who is the topmost? Lord Brahma. Even higher than Lord Brahma is Lord Shiva, because he is a greater devotee. And then Rishabhdev says, even higher than that is Brahmanas. Because I am completely controlled by the Brahmanas. Here when it is mentioned, Brahmanas means Brahmana devotees. So the Lord is controlled by Brahmanas. Because the devotees know no one but Krishna. Then Krishna knows only his devotees. So that's why Krishna is known as Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Brahmanya Dev. The Lord is known as Brahmanya Dev. He is very fond of Brahmanas. In that way, the Lord himself shows the position of Brahmanas. The indication in that verse is, this verse was spoken by Rishabhdev to Bharat Maharaj, who is going to be the next emperor to rule over the world, and all his sons. The conclusion was that even though Bharat Maharaj is going to rule over the world, even though he is known as the greatest of the emperors, and the whole Bharata Varsha is known by his name as Bharata, before the name of this Varsha was Ajanabha Varsha, and since King Bharata ruled this Varsha, the Varsha is known as Bharata Varsha, the whole world is known as Bharata Varsha. Even though Bharata is such a great king, still he has to follow the counsel of the Brahmanas. That is the point mentioned here. So even though Bharata is such a great king, still they have to follow the order of the Brahmanas. So that is such a very wonderful interaction between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. So Brahmanas would give advice to Kshatriya kings, and at the same time the Kshatriyas would maintain the Brahmanas and would not levy any tax on them. They worked on the principle of mutual respect. Krishna himself showed example to this. Krishna was a prince in Dwaraka as a Kshatriya, playing the role of a Kshatriya as a king. When Sudama arrived, what did Krishna do? Krishna immediately ran, right, to receive Sudama. He took Sudama, he's a Brahmana, took him all the way to his bedroom and allowed Sudama to be seated on his bedstead. And Krishna himself washed the feet, right? Feet of Sudama. And he took that water and sprinkled that water on everyone's head to show how to respect a Brahmana. So Krishna is always upholding the Brahmanical principle. Krishna himself. Interestingly enough, this Varnashram system, it is not only in this material world. Even in the spiritual world, there is Varnashram system. It is spiritual, but still exists. The culture of the spiritual world is Varnashram. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, as Gopakumar was going to different planets, covering all the material universe and ultimately going through different lokas in the spiritual world, when he reached Dwaraka, he spent some time in Dwaraka. When he was in Dwaraka, he was still curious about Krishna in Vrindavan. He was feeling so much of separation from Madan Gopal, his worshipable Lord. He was expressing his separation from the Lord. There, Narada and Uddhava were hearing separation of Gopakumar from Krishna in Vrindavan. So Krishna in Dwaraka couldn't satisfy Gopakumar. He was still feeling, this is not my Lord. Even though he's having exactly the same form, the complexion is exactly the same, but the way he behaves is slightly different. I am not getting such an intimate association with my Lord. He is trying his best, but it is not the same. So Gopakumar was expressing his concern, his intimate relationship with Krishna to Uddhava and Narada. Then both Uddhava and Narada, they became ecstatic seeing Gopakumar's separation from the Lord. Uddhava started saying, look at this, the loving feeling of this Gopa from the Lord. He is even superior to you and me, Uddhava is telling Narada. Narada said, yes, that's right. He was in ecstasy. He said, look at his mood of serving Krishna. He said, now please Uddhava, Narada told Uddhava, please Uddhava, you instruct him the loving sentiments of gopis for Krishna. Immediately Uddhava said, look, I am a Kshatriya. How can I instruct Gopakumar? especially in front of you, because you are a Brahmana. This is a spiritual world. The spiritual world, Dwaraka. Still, Uddhava is acting as a Kshatriya, according to Varnashram. Narada told Uddhava, we are in the spiritual world. Yes, this Varnashram actually exists in the material world, in the middle planetary system, and that too in one Varsha primarily. Which is that Varsha? Bharata Varsha. So Bharata Varsha, this Varnashram system exists prominently, but now we are in the spiritual world. Why are you talking that you are a Kshatriya, I am a Brahmana? We are all devotees. Then Uddhava said, what you are saying is right. Still, even our Lord follows Varnashram system strictly here. He also respects Brahmanas. And he is also having meeting with Kshatriyas like the Pandavas. So I had to follow. What can I do? So the whole conversation is, they are laughing and talking, you know, because they know this Varnashram system is not so serious there. But still, they are following for the pastime's sake. So even in the spiritual world, the Varnashram exists. Even in Vrindavan, they act as Vaishyas. Madhumangal thinks, I am a Brahmana, I can bless the gopis. I can curse. If you don't give me enough sweets, I'll curse you. Because I am a Brahmana. So yes, Varnashram system for Rasa exists even in the spiritual world. So that is a fact. We can see even the earthly pastime in Dwaraka, Ugrasen was being criticized very heavily by a Brahmana, because Brahmana's sons were dying straight after birth, one after another. Then he came to the king and he said, there must be something wrong done by the king, Ugrasen. Otherwise, how is it possible that my sons started dying one after another, straight after birth? See, if anything goes wrong in the kingdom, who is responsible? The king is responsible. Brahmana said, I am not sinful, I am doing everything properly, so it must be because of the king. So this is the responsibility of a king, and this is the position of a Brahmana. So ultimately, in Kali Yuga, this Varnashram system is quite ruined. Brahminical class is ruined, and there are no real Kshatriyas, there are no real Vaishyas, there are no real Shudras, everything is gone. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, wanted to bring back the Varnashram system starting with Brahmanas. It's very important to understand that the first aim is to create Brahmanas. Because if Brahmanas are there, then they can create Kshatriyas, they can create Vaishyas, they can create Shudras. Because they know what is meant to be a Kshatriya, what is meant to be other classes, and they can train. In Krishna's time, when Indraprastha was created, right, for Pandavas, Indraprastha was a barren land. There was nothing there. So since Indraprastha was created, and there was a strong rule by Kshatriya kings, according to Brahminical advice, then lot of Vaishyas, businessmen, they went to the new kingdom. Then there were lot of Shudras, there were lot of Vaishyas. Everyone went because there was Kshatriya rule according to the Brahminical guidance. So if that Brahminical guidance and Kshatriya rule is there, naturally the business will flourish. Because there is a steady rule. Say now also it's the same. If the political system is shaky, if the governance is shaky, then the stock market is going to go down. Simple as that. So in 5,000 years back, there was strong rule, then naturally all the business started flourishing. So everything is interdependent, everything is interconnected. Now it comes to the point, what happens if Kshatriyas are not acting properly? If Kshatriyas are not acting properly, then the Brahmanas have power to destroy them in different ways. First, we can take the example of Parashuram. Very powerful, the son of Jamadagni. Parashuram was born Brahmana. He was a born Brahmana. That is a pastime how Parashuram was born. Anyway, he was a born Brahmana. He had such a power, but he had the power of Kshatriya. Even though he was a Brahmana, but he had the power of Kshatriya. That's why one time, Jamadagni's wife, Renuka, She went to take water from the river. Right. That time, there was a beautiful, handsome demigod appeared there, and she had a look at the demigod. And because Jamadagni was so powerful, he understood that my wife looked at a man with a bit of lustful intention. Maybe very slight, but there was that look was not proper. Jamadagni immediately understood. So, just with that look, Jamadagni concluded that my wife is not chaste. And when she returned, bring the water, right? She returned, bring the water. Jamadagni was not pleased. So he asked all his sons, will you do what I say? Strong question. So sons are, Vedic sons, they were very obedient. They said, yes, we will do. So first son, asked the first son, okay, now you kill your mother. Heavy. First son said, no, I cannot do that. Second one, kill your mother. I can't do that. Then when it comes to Parashuram, he was asked, kill your mother. He immediately killed his mother. Then, look, shocking, right? Shocking. But why Parashuram did that? Parashuram knew that my father is very powerful. So if I follow what he said, even though it is very, very heinous, you know, and very difficult, atrocious, still, he can give any boon. So, the same thing happened. Jamadagni told, okay, now I am very pleased with you. What boon you want? So, Parashuram said, you bring back my mother and my brothers back to life. And they shouldn't remember that I have killed them. So, actually, Jamadagni told, kill all of them. So, he killed all of them. So, they shouldn't remember that I killed them. Jamadagni said, yes, no problem. Let it be so. So, everyone came back to life. So this is the power, you know, this is the power of Parashuram. So Parashuram had that Kshatriya spirit. Because if he is a Brahmana, he cannot do that. If he is a Brahmana, cannot follow this killing, he cannot do that. In this way, straight away, not with the mantra. Generally the killing is done by mantra. That is possible, but with weapon, probably it's not possible. But Parashuram was so powerful, he appeared to kill all these wicked Kshatriya kings in the world who were irreligious. Years back, millenniums back, not recently, millenniums back. That's why Parashuram appeared. And he killed all these kings how many times? 21 times. No one could defeat him because he was so powerful. So this is some other ways. Parashuram is, by the way, he said, empowered incarnation of the Lord. He had the power to kill them. So this is the one way of dealing with wicked Kshatriya kings. That is, just killing them even with power. That is Parashuram. Same thing the Lord also has done, right? Krishna has also killed so many demoniac kings. Krishna has killed many kings, right? What is the one of the purposes of Krishna's appearance? Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna's appearance is very soon. In a few days' time. So Krishna appeared for the two reasons. One is to re-establish the religion and to annihilate the miscreants. And a large number of miscreants were these Kshatriya kings. And Krishna is ready to kill. In Kunti Maharani's prayers, Kunti Maharani says, one of the reasons for your appearance is to reduce the burden of the world. Bhuvo nava ivam budho. In the ambudhi, in the ocean, just like there is a boat which is burdened because of the heavy weight, similarly the earth is burdened because of these wicked kings, and you came here to reduce that burden. Ajopi atma bhuvarthita, because of the request of Lord Brahma, you appear to reduce the burden of this world. So the Lord can also come to punish the kings because they can perform so many atrocities, right? At the time of Krishna, before Krishna's appearance, Kamsa was doing so much of atrocities. He was trying to annihilate Brahminical culture. He was harassing Brahmanas. He was not allowing Brahmanas to perform the sacrifices. They couldn't properly chant mantras. The fire was not lit properly. So much of problems. Then when Krishna was appearing, it was mentioned, all the rivers were becoming full, all the lakes were becoming full, all different trees were bearing fruits. Just like the spring, all the trees were and all the plants were showing up with so many beautiful flowers. The spring has already appeared. And then the Lord appeared personally. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. Mumuchurmanayo deva sumudam simudanyuta mandam mandam jaladhara jagarjur anusagaram nishidhetamudbhute janama jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam vishnu sarva guhashaya avirasit yatha prachyam dishinduriva pushkala jagarjurmanayo deva. Now the Brahmanas were able to chant the mantras very properly. The sacrificial fires were lit and they were blazing very nicely. And the devatas, they were chanting glories of Krishna. The Brahmanas were chanting Vedic hymns when Krishna was appearing. That is Mumuchur Manayo Deva Sumudamsi Mudanyuda Mandam Mandam Jaladhara Jagarjur Anusagaram. And the clouds were producing rumbling sounds just like that of the ocean. It was a natural musical vibration coming from the earth. And as the time went by, it was dark in the night. It was almost the midnight. Then Krishna was appeared from the womb of Mother Devaki. It is mentioned that Vishnu Sarva Guhashya. Who is that Krishna? He is addressed there as Vishnu because he is situated in everyone's heart. Avirasit yatha prachyam dishindu riva pushkala. The comparison is given to in the prachyam dishi, in the eastern direction, how the moon rises, a full moon rises. In that same way, Krishna appeared. Iva pushkala, the full moon, because the moon has different phases. Similarly, different incarnations of the Lord can be partial, just like the different phases of the moon. However, Krishna is complete. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna appeared. And there was environmental changes simply because of the appearance of the Lord. So the Brahmanas counsel the Kshatriyas in the same way Krishna also counseled a Kshatriya who is Arjun. That is Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara pratam imam rajarshiyo vidhu. So this knowledge is meant to be given to rajarshis for the saintly kings. So the Lord can punish the Kshatriyas and at the same time he can give counsel to Kshatriyas, that is Bhagavad Gita. So this is the Lord is showing how to deal with the Kshatriyas. Give knowledge and punish if required. And here the situation is different because King Vena, he performed so much of atrocities. Yesterday we were mentioning, as a child, he would go with his friends as a 5-year-old boy. What he would do? They will do water sports and in the water, he would drown one or two kids, his friends, in the water. So cruel he was. The Brahmanas noted, this boy is very cruel. Still, they enthroned him because they thought, at least there will be someone to rule over, to punish the thieves. Indeed, when King Vena was ruling, there were no thievery, there were no rogues. Everyone were very fearful because he was punishing them so severely. So as Brahmanas thought, there was one good point that he could rule over very strongly. Then they thought, okay, we would give him counsel so that at least he may come back to the right path. They tried to advise him, but King Vena wouldn't listen. They told very nicely, they, even though he performed so much of atrocities, they were disturbing Brahmana, still the Brahminical class, they went up to King Vena and told, you are a good person, if you perform dharma, it will be better for you, it will be beneficial. They gave a series of advice. At the end, King Vena said, you are like mischievous children who do not know anything. You are actually ignorant by you are worshipping the Supreme Lord. Rather, I am the representative of the Supreme Lord. Actually, I am the Supreme Lord himself. So stop all your sacrifices and you start worshipping me. So he said, you worship me, not Krishna. Then Brahmanas understood, this Vena is never going to listen, he's never going to transform. So for the benefit of the people, they used the final weapon, which was the curse, Brahmashapa. They used the mantra to curse Vena and he was burnt into ashes. So this is the Brahmanical power, this is the power of Brahmanas. So we can see how the Brahmana class used their power to kill Vena. So they had the power to dethrone a king or kill a king. Ultimately, the Brahmanas have the most power. And where is that power coming from? Krishna. So ultimately, the rule is done by the instructions of Krishna. It is given as advice by the Brahmanas without any pride within. And the Kshatriyas execute the instructions and then the world is ruled over. So this is the actual Brahmanical Varna system. Okay, stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, so the question is, Prabhu is taking a practical example because even Brahmanas, Pujaris become agitated, angry and curse us. When will that curse take any effect at this point? In Kali Yuga, words do not have much power. I am talking about, not about on a pure devotee platform, but general Brahmanical class. General words do not have much of a power. And if a Brahmana is not tolerant enough and cursing, definitely that will not work. Because first of all, this is Kali Yuga. Second, a Brahmana is not demonstrating the real Brahmanical quality of forbearance. The ultimate quality of a Brahmana is forgiveness. That is the ultimate quality of a Brahmana. So if that is not demonstrated, then those kind of words do not have much power. So we don't need to worry too much about it. Especially, you know, our Kali Yuga citizens, Kali Yuga Brahmanas can get agitated because everyone is very conditioned. Can get agitated for any small things. You use this word, you looked at me like this, you told me 5 years back, you know. Anything can, because these are all based on false ego. And one can, you know, yeah, can curse. It doesn't work in that way. It doesn't work in that way. So we don't need to worry too much. We deal with everyone properly, but at the same time, small agitations, it will be there. And we shouldn't really curse or, you know, see others in a bad light because of that. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
It seems like for the social body to function properly, they need to be called for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, but now ISKCON set up, it seems like we're all getting the...
What's the question?
Like now it's concerned that everyone's getting the same training regarding of like which nature they have, like sort of the service
or yeah. Seminar. So the question is, in Kali, in ISKCON, in the age of Kali, everyone is getting same training and not necessarily we are trained as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So the prime aim of Krishna Conscious Society is to first to have Brahmanas, and to have the Brahmanical training for everyone. So we need Brahmana Vaishnavas. That's what we need first. Then we are given training according to one's nature, but not necessarily according to rule over the world, but maybe to rule our society. Some people are trained as managers. Some people have trained as teachers, for example, according to one's own nature. Some people are Pujaris. Some people are engaged in how to make money. They are businessmen. Some people are just working. So according to one's nature, even in Krishna consciousness, we serve Krishna according to our nature. So in essence, it is kind of a varna playing a role, but we don't differentiate so much because we are not talking about ruling the world. We are just functioning within the society in serving Krishna directly. So we don't. It is wrong to think that you are a Shudra Vaishnava, it's a Brahmana Vaishnava, Kshatriya Vaishnava. To classify them, it is wrong. So it is said, Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, that is condemned. Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, one cannot have Jati, the caste mentality among the devotees. Devotees are devotee. So according to one's nature, one may function in different capacities, but still is a devotee. So we see them as devotees rather than, you know, according to the propensities. So the propensities take a back seat, whereas as a devotee, that takes the prime seat. So that's why, yes, there are training according to the service and according to the nature, but not necessarily to rule the world, because we are not at this point. Then Srila Prabhupada wanted actually Varnashram colleges, where according to one's nature, one can be trained and to demonstrate Varnashram system, where people are trained as farmers, you know, how to do proper farming in this world. It's very important. How to be a proper Shudra. It's a very qualified job to be a proper Shudra. It's a high quality to be a Shudra. It's not easy to be a Shudra. So Prabhupada wanted to demonstrate that. And there are some Varnashram colleges in this world. And there are some places this training is there. But when it comes to a temple like here, we are primarily focusing on preaching. Here, the training is how to run this, the whole thing is for preaching, including the deity worship, how to run the show. So, still there is some amount of training, that's what I can say. You have something to say?
So, you mentioned higher than Brahmaji is Brahma.
Yeah.
Brahma is Vaishnava. What is the other than leave it with those Brahmanas?
Yes, yes.
And then he has to be a pigeon.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I cannot say where was it arised, but I can explain the terminology, the nomenclature behind the term Brahmana. So in the Vedic literature, the term Brahmana is used, and that can mean different things. Okay? The Brahmana is not just a one meaning, and that's it, generally when we refer to Brahmana. So we know where this term is coming from, right? So Brahmana means Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. So first is starting from Dvija, there is, what is the verse starting from? Do you remember the verse? Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. Right? Or Veda, yeah, I remember that. Samskarat bhavet dvicha, vetapadhat bhavet vipra, brahma janati iti brahmana. So, generally the brahmanas are all different kind. So, one is a shudra. If the garbhodhana samskara is not done, that is the ceremony done even before conceiving a child, if that is not done, then a child produced from that kind of womb is considered a shudra. So, a brahmanical birth start from even before conceiving a child. So a father and mother is performing the Garbhadhana Samskara to produce a child, then only one can get a Brahmanical child. Then only I can attract a soul who is qualified to occupy that position. Then, Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. So if one performs Garbhadhana and other Samskara, then he is called a Dvija. He's a Dvija Brahmana. He's considered Dvija. Generally use Brahmana also for them. He's considered Dvija, twice born, because the samskaras are done. Then, Veda Padhat Bhavet Vipra. Then that Brahmana is called a Vipra because he has studied in the old Vedic literature. So Vedic literature means he has the understanding. And when one realizes that is Brahma Janati Idi Brahmana, understand that ultimate conclusion is Brahman, the Supreme, then he is known as Brahmana. When it comes to Brahmanas, as we refer as Vaishnava, Brahmana Vaishnava means that Brahmana Vaishnava knows that the ultimate object of worship is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So that is a Brahmana Vaishnava. So that is the highest class. So when Rishabhadev is talking about, we are talking about a Brahmana Vaishnava. So there are other gradations of Brahmana who may just perform yajna, who may worship all the demigods. They are also Brahmanas. They know how to worship the demigods. They are also Brahmanas. But there are different gradations of Brahmanas. However, when we use the term Brahmana, where it is mentioned that the Lord is telling, I am Brahmandidev, he is referring to not to a demigod worshipping Brahmana or a person who is expert in performing, doing all the rituals. Not talking about that. He's talking about a devotee Brahmana. That's why there are criticisms about Brahmanas. Shakarma nipuna vipra mantra tantra visharata avaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava shabacho guru. Have you heard this verse? Mantra tantra shat karma nipuna vipra. He knows to perform all the shat karma, all the brahmanical activities. He's an expert. Mantra tantra visharata. He's expert in chanting mantras and performing ritualistic activities. But avaishnava guru nasyat. But if he is not a devotee of Krishna, Guru Nasyat, he cannot become a guru. Vaishnava Shapacho Guru. But if he is a devotee of Krishna, he can be from the background of a dog eater, but he can become a guru. So it doesn't matter which background one is coming from, but what is the activity one is performing. It doesn't matter. Prahlad Maharaj says, one Brahmana may possess all 24 qualities of a Brahmana, which include austerities, forbearing, tolerance, all the good qualities. Still, if he is not a devotee of the Lord, he cannot save himself, what to speak about his family and other people. But a devotee, he may not have all qualities. He may be coming from a background of a chapacha, from a quality of a background of a dog eater. Still, he can deliver the whole world. So, this is different gradations we need to understand. That's why, at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the caste Brahmanas, they were telling that Vaishnavas do not have the right to worship Krishna in the deity worship in the form of saligram, and they don't have the right to chant Brahma Gayatri or other Gayatri mantras. So the devotees, if they are born from a lower caste, they don't have the right to worship the deity and they cannot chant mantras, especially the Gayatri mantras. And there's a big debate. You remember, it is a, you know, maybe 100 years back, huge debate going on, and it went on a big scale, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sick and he couldn't represent himself because he was so sick. So he asked, who can represent the devotees? Then Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, I can represent the devotees. And he read in front of sick Bhaktivinoda Thakur the entire thesis. It's called Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Then he read the thesis, and when he heard that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very pleased. Then he went in a huge assembly, thousands and thousands upon men, where they're waiting, and the debate between the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. The Brahmanas mean there is a caste Brahmanas. Here Vaishnava means he's also a Brahmana, but it's a Brahmana Vaishnava, who is a devotee of the Lord. First, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he glorified Brahmanas like anything, from all the Shastras. So all these caste Brahmins, they became very happy. They started thinking, oh, we didn't even know our own glories. And here Bhaktisiddhanta is, you know, glorifying us, so good, we let us hear our own glories. And after that he started cutting them. He said, a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. And if a Brahmana, if he is not qualified as a Vaishnava, then he cannot even deliver himself what to speak about other people. So he cut so much. And finally they asked some questions, he answered all the questions. And the debate, he was completely successful in his debate. And all the people assembled, they wanted to touch the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta. And the police, the British time, all the police had to arrive. They took Bhaktisiddhanta, took him to a room and washed his feet and took the water and distributed among men, because to avoid chaos. Otherwise there was going to be some violence to touch the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's why when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he took his disciples to Vrindavan, all the Goswamis, they closed their temples, because Bhaktisiddhanta is initiating non-Brahmanas into Brahmanism and giving them Gayatri and allowing them to worship Saligram. They were so against. The social system was so against. Some of them threw stone at Bhaktisiddhanta and his disciples, and Bhaktisiddhanta had to escape. In disguise, he had to escape. So this was the so powerful the system was, the wrong system. So Brahmanas are gradation, different classes are there. So when we refer Brahmanas now, in the Bhagavatam context, that Brahmana is referring to Brahmana Vaishnava. Otherwise, Shukracharya is also Brahmana. Shukracharya, because the seminal line, he's coming in the seminal line of Brahmanas. And he's happy to accept remuneration. See, Shukracharya? That's why he didn't want to advise Bali Maharaj. You know, he didn't want him to advise Bali Maharaj to worship Krishna, Vishnu. He said, don't give charity to Vishnu. He's this Vamana, he's this boy, he's actually a dwarf boy, he's actually Krishna, Vishnu. Don't give him charity. So Bali Maharaj rejected his own guru. So he's a Brahmana, he's a seminal line Brahmana, and he didn't act as a Brahmana, so Bali Maharaj rejected his own guru. And that is considered glorious. To worship Krishna, he rejected his own guru. So there are different gradations. So Shukracharya also considered himself as a Brahmana. He had power. He had power to bring people back to life. He was very powerful. You know the story, Devayani, right? He had the power. Sharmishta, Devayani, we know the pastime. He had the power to bring, but still not a devotee of the Lord. Then there is no value. Okay. Time is up.